And I just knew God was speaking. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're going to pick up where we were a few weeks ago when we were talking about prayer. And remember I said I was going to come back and teach you how to pray an hour a day? Amen. And I taught this years ago, and I have used it probably most of my life. There's been seasons where I kind of veered off from it, but always seemed to come back to it. It always brought stability in my prayer life. It always brought discipline. It always brought that back into my life. It always brought order, because a lot of times we're all over the place in our prayer life, and we don't know, well, what did we pray yesterday, and what do we believe in God for? And this helped me to bring everything into order. And I'm gonna share, and a lot of great men of God have used this to pray an hour a day, and I'll share that as we go along. But I just want to do a little bit of review, and I'm going to open up in prayer first, okay? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you tonight. And I just pray, Lord, I pray that this church will be a praying church like it's never prayed before. I pray for the anointing. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray that you stir us up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Genesis, I just want to read Genesis 28, verses 10 through 13, because we have been talking about, is there a ladder in your house? Do you have a ladder into heaven? And I want to read where I got that from, because when I got that title, is there a ladder in your house, it was all about Jacob. And it starts in verse 10, in Genesis 28, verse 10, it says, now Jacob went out from Beersheba, and he went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on earth, and its top reached to the heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, the Lord stood above the ladder and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. I read more scriptures the first week. But you know what? You know, That was amazing, because I remember reading this scripture, and years earlier, I don't remember how much earlier, it was probably years earlier, I had had that vision when I was praying. I had a vision that when it just came to me one day, I was praying in it, and God showed me that every person that I was bringing, if I was praying for Maria, I was bringing her up that ladder, and I was bringing her before God, and then bringing her back down that ladder. And I'm saying, is there a ladder in your house tonight, today? Is there a ladder where you're praying, and you're getting the angels of God busy, descending and ascending, and answering your prayers? Amen? He saw angels descending on that ladder and going back up, up and down, taking up prayers. And I believe that as we pray and we bring people before God, we'll see miracles coming down that ladder. Amen? And so our prayer was Jacob's ladder. And we need to have an entry point. And that entry point is prayer. We need to have an entry point in our home for angelic forces to enter in, and an entry point in our churches for the angels to move. If we don't pray, we don't have a ladder between heaven and earth. And a lot of people don't pray because, you know, they don't know how to pray. We talked about the importance of making prayer a priority, and having, we talked about three things: priority, time, and place. And we said how important it was, and I brought out scriptures. You can go back and listen to those messages. I believe there were a few weeks ago. But it's important. You know, a lot of people, well, I'll pray when I get time. Well, you're never going to get time. You know, when you make an appointment at the doctor's, you better be there on time, or they charge you. And then you got to make another appointment. Or if you make appointments out there, you got to be there. Set a time to meet God. You know, people say, well, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning is too early, 9 o'clock's too late. You know, you set a time to meet with God. That makes it a priority. Amen? And then Jesus said, you know, pray in the secret place. He talked about praying in a closet or going somewhere. Because you know what? Everybody's always intruding in our life. Life is busy. Get alone with God. Go to a place where you will not be, you know, just people will not, you know, intrude on you or, you know, shut your phone off. Put it in another room if you have to. You know, just make that commitment to set a time and have a place. Go in that closet to pray. Jesus knew what he was talking about. Amen. Even he would go out into a solitary place and pray. Amen. And then what else did we talk about? We talked about a time and a place and a priority. Amen? Those three things. Tonight we're going to talk about, we're going to get into it in a few minutes, we're going to talk about a pattern of prayer. Now there are many different patterns. There are many different ways, you know, that you can become disciplined in prayer. But if you don't have some kind of pattern, it just kind of like, okay, I know I need to pray me, my husband, my kids, my whatever. You know what I'm saying? There's not a flow. But when you learn how to pray, you can cover a lot. Amen? And you don't have to feel. You know, a lot of people don't want to, when it comes to prayer and spiritual things, people don't want to have an order. They want to just, whatever, you know, as the Spirit leads. And if you ask them, what did you pray for, you know, well, what do you believe in God? Most people don't even answer. They don't know what to answer. I don't know. I'm trying to pray. A Christian without the ability to pray effectively is like a soldier without a rifle. It's like a basketball player with concrete boots on. It's like a golf player with a bat in his hand. Amen? Or maybe a concert pianist playing on a little plastic piano. You have the ability to pray. Amen? Christians don't have to be smart. They don't have to be pretty. Hello. They're not required to be witty or clever, but they better learn how to pray. Amen? It's important that we learn how to pray. I brought out the scripture. I felt led to read it again tonight in Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. It says, meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. Each morning, the priest will add fresh wood to the fire. I was going to say fresh food. I must be hungry. Fresh wood to the fire and arrange the daily whole burnt offering on it. He must then burn the fat of the peace offerings on top of this daily whole burnt offering. And then verse 13 said, remember, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It must never go out. God said, a fire is what I want. See, your temple, your body is the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, you know, the temple was physical. But in the New Testament, you are the temple. And we need to keep it. We need to be on fire for God. Amen? And so we need to have a prayer place in that temple. We need to be on fire, wanting to pray, not having it to be a task. And I'm not saying you're always feeling it. You know, we don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. But there should be some fire when we're praying. There should be some things you really want to see happen. And a lot of times when there's not any fire, we're just praying because we're supposed to pray those things. You know, there needs to be a little bit of fire there. Amen? Hallelujah. It's the most important thing that a believer can do is develop a prayer life, a consistent, unbroken place, and a time of prayer every day in your life. Now, this might sound a little bit heavy, but you should be having a place of prayer every day. And I bet if I did a survey or something, and asked you all to fill out a survey and said, when you don't pray, you know, people can get, you know, they say, oh, it's religious, we don't have to pray every day. But you should be spending time with your Creator every day. You should be spending time with your Savior. But I can guarantee every one of you would say, when I don't pray, I feel pretty bad. I feel pretty condemned. I don't, it just, my day just isn't the same. Am I right? Come on now. You know, just act like you're praying, even if you're not. Say amen. Glory to God. There's always, you know, I wanted to share this. I heard this, and I just want to, I want to read it here. But if you go over to Israel, they said, you will see teenagers, you'll see young people that they just hang out. They look like our kids here. They wear blue jeans and T-shirts and ball caps. But when the time of prayer comes over in Israel every day, you'll see this. You'll go to the Wailing Wall. Has anybody ever been to Israel or the Wailing Wall? Someday. Amen? You go to the Wailing Wall. You'll see gangs of teenagers just hanging out, laughing, cutting up, like teenagers do. But when the time of prayer comes, they put that little beanie on their head and they go to the Wailing Wall. The girls go on one side, the guys go on another side, and you will see groups of young people, and they pull out their prayers that the rabbis have built. They've got their prayer books, they pull out the scriptures from the Old Testament, and they stand there, and they will begin to speak out loud. You'll see every one of them moving their lips, moving, praying, and whatever they're saying in the Hebrew language, the very prayers that they're praying under the Old Covenant to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They don't pray in the name of Jesus because they don't have that revelation yet. But they pray, and they are so blessed. Man of God said they know their identity. They have the lowest crime rates in the world. They have the lowest drug addiction rates in the world. They have the least divorce in the world. And all it is thousands of years of families that are praying together, staying together, even if they do not have the full revelation. There's a culture of prayer. Let's build that culture of prayer here. We have the name of Jesus. We can see the sick healed. We can see the dead raised. We can see deliverances happen. There's a culture of prayer. And Jesus talked about prayer. I want us to look at Luke chapter 11, 1. He said, now it came to pass as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now notice, they never asked Jesus, teach us to preach like you do, Jesus. Teach us, you know, to talk, you know, all the wisdom and all of the things that you teach on. Teach us, you, the words that you speak are so full of wisdom in life. They didn't ask Jesus, teach us to preach, teach us to worship, teach us to do this. No, they said they saw Jesus praying, and they saw the results of his prayer. And the one thing that they asked Jesus, they said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to, now let me just say this. You don't have to pray this way, okay? But if you don't have an order in your prayer life, and if you're not praying every day, I challenge you. We're not passing these out right now, but we're gonna pass these out to you on a card, and it's basically a daily prayer guide. And before I get into teaching on this, we're gonna go through the Lord's Prayer. I can tell you, I have prayed this for years. It's funny, Linda, remember the song that you wrote, Jehovah? And I was singing that to Pastor in the car, and I said, remember that song, this song? And he goes, you remember that? And I said, I sang that every single morning. I sang the names of God. It just was a song that helped me to sing. I'm not going to sing it to you because I'm not a very good singer. You know, Pastor said, you sang that every day. I wonder how the angels handled that. I said, there's people sing worse than me. I said, God loved it. but anyhow, you know, I remembered that when you do something every single day, you don't always have to have a prayer guide in front of you because you know what you've been praying. You know what you're believing God for. You know what you're declaring and what you're decreeing. So Jesus began to teach them how to pray. He began to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Well, I say turn over, but you can go on your phones or you can just watch it, read it up here. And we're going to teach out of this tonight. We're going to teach some things out of this. Another thing, when I was reading this scripture in Matthew 21, you don't have to go there right now. I don't even know if I gave you that. But Jesus said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Isn't it amazing? He didn't say, my house shall be called a house of healing. He didn't say, my house shall be called a house of worship. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And that's the church, but it's also this house. We are the temple. My house shall be called, are we his house? Are we his house? Because if there's prayer, there will be worship. If there's prayer, there'll be healing. There'll be miracles. There'll be signs. There'll be wonders. And so, I wanted to mention this. How many of you have ever heard of Dr. Cho? He's got like the largest church in the world. And this is the prayer, how he built his church. The Holy Spirit brought him this prayer. Jensen Franklin, how many of you know who he is? He's our fasting teacher in prayer. I didn't know this, but he said he has prayed this prayer for over 40 years. It was ever since he was learned to pray, he prayed this prayer and still does today for 40 years. Pastor Chris Hodges, 50,000 people they have in their church. They have all of these satellite churches. This is the prayer they teach. There's another prayer called the Ark of the Tabernacle, but we'll talk about that at another time. But this is the church that great men, I mean, this is the prayer that many of them pray. Amen? And so how many of you want to learn how to pray? Most people don't pray because they don't know how. That's one of the number one reasons. They don't know how. Or they pray in desperation any way that they can. And they're all over the place. Amen? The disciples said to Jesus, they said, we don't know how. Teach us to pray. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you this prayer outline, and it covers every major category in life. And like I said, they did not ask Jesus one other thing to teach them, but they said, teach us to pray. And so we're going to start with that. We're going to start out with the Lord's Prayer, okay? And we're going to talk about remember, in Luke 11:2, he said this. He said, when you pray, say. Can you put that back up there? Luke chapter 11, I think it's verse 1 or 2. There he is. Oh, you're in the ball. Wow. When you pray, say. You got to open your mouth. A lot of people say, well, you know, I just don't want to pray. You ask people to pray over the dinner. Oh, I can't. Oh. They've been in church for 20 years and they can't even pray over a meal at a restaurant. They're so intimidated. Come on now. When you pray, say. It means say something out loud. It means to speak. It means to say. And so Jesus said, when you pray, say. Number one, can we put that that graphic up there so you can see this? We can't do can we change that? Put a darker background on that or something? It's hard to read with all of the other action. Can you see it? Can you see it good? Okay, well, I'm going to read it from here. I just want you to see it good from there, all right? We're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer. So first of all, they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And Jesus went and he started to teach him to pray. And this is what he said to his disciples right after they asked him, teach us to pray. He said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? Do we just, you know, I grew up and I said the Lord's Prayer. We called it the Our Father, and we called our other prayer the Hail Mary, and we called our other prayer. We had all these different prayers. And all I ever prayed was, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And I didn't know what it meant. Just prayed it. But it meant something when Jesus said it. It meant something to the disciples. Why would he lead them astray? He wanted them to get answers from heaven. He was praying. He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying all the time. And they said, teach us to pray. He was teaching them this. And so first he said to him, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be that thy name. That word hallowed means to be, means holy, and it means praise. It means to praise God. So you start your prayer. So you come in the morning and you open up and you start praying. You start with praise. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I have this broken down for you here, but I'm gonna talk about the name of God. That means to start with praise. Don't go in and just immediately start asking. Go in saying, Lord, hallowed be your name. Well, what is his name? He has a lot of names, but I'm gonna break these down for you. Jehovah Rapha, that's one name that God. Anybody know what that means? The Lord that heals. And so when I pray this prayer, I go before God and I praise, I hallow him, and I sing that song that Linda wrote. And I go through all of the names of God. And I don't know if she could even remember it tonight to play it, but anyhow, I just go before God and I say, Jehovah Rapha, I worship you. I thank you that you are the Lord that healeth me. Jehovah Jireh, you are the God who provides. Father, I just worship you this morning. I thank you for provision. And I just begin to you know, thank him for all of the things that he's provided for me. I thank him for, I put my faith thanks out there as well for the things that he provides. Jehovah Tsidkenu. And you're gonna get one of these with all of these on here, okay? So don't worry about that, okay? Jehovah, my righteousness, I thank you, Lord, that I am the righteousness of God. If you are saying that every day, you'll push condemnation to the side and you'll have bold prayers. I thank you, Lord, that you took my sin out of me. I thank you, Lord, that you took sin out of me and you put your goodness on the inside of me. I thank you for your righteousness. And, you know, sometimes, you know, later in the day or when I'm studying, I know what most of these mean now, but I would just break it down. What does that mean? What does it mean to be righteous? What does it mean to be sanctified? What did God do for me? Jehovah Makedesh, Jehovah who sanctifies and sets us apart. Jehovah Shalom, my peace. Maybe you don't have peace. I just would go through these names of God. I have about 8 names of God here. And I just would go through the different Jehovah my banner, Jehovah my shepherd. And what I'm doing is I'm our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is his name. These are the names of God. And I'm hallowing his name. I'm worshiping his name. I'm thanking him and worshiping. So, you know, and I'm telling you, this prayer pattern, this part of it really brought breakthrough in my life so many times. Because you just start getting revelation. He's my banner, my protector, especially these days. You don't know where you're going to be. You need to thank God that he's Jehovah Nissi. He's my banner. He's my protector. Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd. And so every day, you know, I would come before God and just say, God, I praise you and I worship your name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Every day we should be praying. Every day we say, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I hallow your names. And so we just start out like that. I enter your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. Amen. And before that, you know, like before I got this order in my prayer, I was you can take 4 hours in prayer and still not ever have enough time. Don't get me wrong. You just, you know, we could just stay with God. But this brought such an order to my prayer life where I knew what I was believing for. I got a revelation of who God was. And it just, I felt like I was praying the way Jesus taught the disciples. Amen? And I just want to say, if you can't remember every name, you got the name of Jesus. And you can pray and worship and praise his name. But it's awesome to know the names of God because you know who he is to you. Amen? Are you getting something out of this? So the first few minutes of your prayer life, you just start praising God. You start thanking him. And then I go on and I thank him for my family. I thank him for his goodness and so forth. And then I take some time and I pray in tongues. I pray in the spirit during that time. And so I'm just letting you know some of the things that I do that you don't have to do it just like I do, but hopefully it helps you. Amen. And I give him glory and thanks for what he's doing in my life. and so forth, and just praise him. I can't tell you everything I praise him about, but just, it, you know what I'm saying. You probably couldn't tell me everything you praise him about either. But I'll do that for a little while. It gets the heavens open, amen. It cleans my spirit out. It sweeps all the ashes out, keeps the fire burning, and then I move to the next part. This part is very important. It establishes your priority. Jesus went on to say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Priority. The priority is his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. Jesus taught this. He said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means that the blessings of God that were given to us would be on earth, that God's will would be done in our lives. Each of us has a path and a will, and we should be praying that. And I say, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then I go on and I begin to... After that, on here, on this prayer guide, they have thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and you pray for your family and your church and so forth. But I've always prayed for the nation first, because it talks about that in Timothy. It says, first of all, prayers and supplication. So then I would go on and I begin to pray for the nation, and I begin to pray for those in authority, and also even those in spiritual authority, your pastors and people that mean something to you spiritually. You pray for your nation and those in authority, and then your, a lot of people, they don't pray for their pastors. They don't pray, even if there's somebody on TV or YouTube that feeds them, or that they really love, that they don't think to pray for those people in spiritual authority, and really should do that, amen? But also for your nation, I pray. And then I go on and I pray for each one of my children, and I pray for my daughter-in-law included, and different family members, and I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, my son's name is Edwin, I pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in Edwin's life. Your plan will come to pass. He will fulfill your destiny. I pray, and I pray in the spirit, and I speak things over his life. I pray that for Heej and his wife. I pray it for Donna. I pray it for my husband. I sometimes pray it for different other people in my family as well. They because your kids have a destiny to fulfill. Amen? And young people, you just pray that. You have such a head start. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life. Amen. God, I want your will. It's his priority. If you pray it, God will do it. Amen. Just, if you pray it over your children, if you pray it over your family. I pray this since I learned this prayer years ago, since my kids were just little kids. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Pray it over your husband. Pray it over your spouse. We prayed this together for a long, long time. When we would come together and pray over our kids. Amen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I heard this recently that, do you remember Todd Beamer? The guy that they avoided the plane. The plane was supposed to go into the White House. Does anybody remember that? But they ended up crashing into Pittsburgh. And they all were planning. I don't know the whole story, but they said, we're not gonna let this go into the White House. And they all just started to pray. Well, they have this recorded. And the recording goes, one woman says, could we pray the Lord's Prayer? And you hear them over this phone call, praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then right after that, it was like, let's roll. And I'm telling you, they might have gone to heaven, but they saved a lot of people, and they saved our nation. They prayed that prayer. That's powerful. That's powerful. So you establish your priorities, you establish the will of God, you pray the will of God, you ask God. One of the things I ask God, to give me ordered steps. Don't let me miss you. I bring things. If I, think about investing in something, God, should I invest in this? I pray over our personal things in our life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I pray over the church for direction and guidance with wisdom. I know that, I tell God, I know what I'm thinking, but I want to submit to your will. That's the priority. We want to submit to His will. So there's a lot more involved in that, but it's important. Jesus said, pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen? Hallelujah. And thy will be done can be guidance and direction, but thy will be done can also be the promises of God established in our life. Because God's will is that we're blessed, that we're healed, that we're whole. God's will, you know, he's a great plan for us. He's not out there trying to see how good we can hold up under the heat of the sun. You know, he's not playing games. He's not playing chess, you know, with us. He just wants us to know His word and to know Him and to, you know, see His kingdom be established in our life. So number three, I'm trying to go through this quick. I have 58 seconds. And then on a select next one, I'm just kidding. I'm just going to take my time. We're going to get through this. Are you getting something out of this tonight? Hopefully it's helping. And we're going to pass these out at the end. Number three, provision. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Say daily. Daily bread, not just when we get in a crunch, not just when we can't pay the bills. He said, give us this day. Jesus was teaching his disciples. He said, pray, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. God, I thank you that I'm the head and I'm the head and not the tail. I thank you, Father, that you promised that you would supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. I thank you that I have good success in my business. I thank you, Lord, that you put favor on me. Amen. And people are going to call me because it's the favor of God. People are going to like me. People are going to bless me, even people that don't like me. I mean, sometimes I go into places and I just confess the favor of God as I'm walking in. You know, just, you ever walk in a grocery store and just say, God, I need a register that's clear. Give me the favor of God. If there's not one open, have somebody look at me and say, come on over here. I'll take care of you. Amen. Especially today, man. I tell you, you got to wait in line a while today. Hallelujah. Unless you're smart and you just go to those. How many like to use the automatic registers? I've liked to use them forever. Pastor hates them. I'm not going over there. But God is our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We just got done hallowing his name, worshiping Jehovah Jireh. But he's our provider, and he's the one that said, ask me for your daily bread. He said, even though, you know, in Matthew, I believe it is chapter 6, even though the Heavenly Father knows what you need, he still says to ask. It's important that we pray. God is not, I know you think God is doing whatever he wants to do, but he's not moving unless we're praying. Hallelujah. I got a really good amen on that one. Yeah. God is our provider. Amen. He said, ask me for our daily bread. And then notice the next one. You move from provision to pardon. I could spend a long time on each one of these. You move from provision to pardon. Everybody say this with me. Forgive us our debt as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And there's a lot of people that sin against us. You know, people are going to, you know, you hear that, done somebody wrong. You know, that person done me wrong. You know, I'm never going to trust that person. I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to do that. Well, then if nobody ever does you wrong, who do we have to forgive? God knew this was going to happen. Jesus knew this. He said, forgive us our sins as we forgive others who sin against us. Amen. So right here, you know, I just go in and I just ask the Lord to cleanse me, to forgive me. Forgive me for the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And I just go through my words and my sins of omission, my sins of commission, just anything that I can think of, things that I should have done, things that I didn't do. I just thank him for the blood. I don't get into this whole condemnation thing. And, you know, of course, I'm sorry and I want to do things right, but I, you know, I thank him for the blood. I thank him for the power of Jesus, the name of Jesus to cleanse me. And I forgive others, but, you know, I just think, is there somebody I need to forgive? Is there somebody, or maybe sometimes it's, I don't even, maybe there's not somebody I need to forgive, but maybe I said something. You know, even Pastor Ed and I at home, we don't talk about people. Like, we don't talk bad about people. But if we do, we ask the Lord to watch over our lips, and we ask the Lord, I ask the Lord, did I say something? Do I need to find those words that I might have said, you know, I might have said, Pastor Mike is so crazy or something like that. I don't know, you know. But anyhow, just something like that. You know, we need to forgive, because if we don't forgive, if we don't pardon, Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. I mean, it's as plain as day. I don't need to get into a long teaching about that, but Jesus said it. He said, forgive others. And then, you know, I just go through this. So this, you know, this just kind of cleans me out. Amen? So I've established praise. I got the heavens open. You can see these things by here. Is this helping you back here? They kept that up there. I've established praise. I got the heavens open. I'm praying in the name of Jesus. I've hallowed his name. And now, you know, I'm asking him. I'm asking in the name, the priority. I prayed the will of God. But the next one, number five, is power. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You want to know why people can't overcome addiction and different things in their life? You know, you want to know why they can't overcome? Jesus said, he said, when the disciples were sleeping, Jesus said, he said, watch and pray that you enter not into what? He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And the reason a lot of people can't overcome temptations is they lack power, is because power only comes through prayer. That's why it needs to be every day. He said, how could Jesus tell the disciples to pray, give us your daily bread, our daily bread, if they're not praying daily? I just, you know, I looked at that and I said, God is expecting to hear from us. He wants to hear. He wants to hear from our voice. Amen? This is the part of the Lord's Prayer that we take authority over demons. We take authority over the devil. We put on the whole armor of God. We begin to speak the name of Jesus. We begin to bind the enemy who comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. That's the time that we do our spiritual warfare. Amen? That's the time you plead the blood of Jesus over your home. That's the time you ask God for help with the Holy Spirit. If there's something that you need to pray, something that you need to do, that's your time. This prayer covers it seems to cover every major category of life. And you can take this prayer and you can see miracles happen. You can see breakthroughs happen. You can see things happen. Amen? This is where you use the power that has been given you over all the powers of darkness. Amen? And then you go to number six. It says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. And you end it again with praise. And suddenly you've established that day, and the power and the kingdom and the priority is set for your life that day. Amen. And I want to say one thing. It's so important. It's so important. I just, you know, I wrote this down. It's very, I know I said it when Jesus said, when you pray, say, it's very important that you pray out loud. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says, you know, meditate your prayers or think your prayers. Speak the word out loud. God needs to hear your voice, but you know who else needs to hear your voice? The enemy needs to hear your voice. The enemy needs to hear you speaking the word of God. Amen? I want to read a couple of statistics, and then we're going to get ready to close. One out of every two marriages end in divorce, and that includes people who attend church. This is the latest statistic from Jimmy Evans Pew Research. One out of every two marriages end in divorce, including people that attend church. Out of 2,000 marriages that pray together, only one out of 2,000 end in divorce. Pretty powerful, huh? Does that mean you have to pray together every day? Maybe you don't have to pray together every day. Pray a couple of times a week. Pray whenever you need to. We pray together at home. We pray together in the car. Whenever something comes up, if somebody sends a text and needs prayer, we'll grab each other's hands and we'll just say, let's pray over this and let's take care of this. Or if something comes up, it's a lifestyle to pray with your husband. You don't have to sit there and pray an hour together, but pray with your spouse, man. There's power in that. Amen? I don't know about you, but and we can have the worship team come. I want fire in this church. I want a praying church, and a praying church will bring the fire. Listen, we're in the middle of the last days, and we need to see the power of God. And that's not going to come without a praying church, and a praying church is not going to happen in the church unless it's happening in the homes. A lot of people don't come out to prayer meetings because they're not praying at home, and they come out and, they just don't, I don't feel it. I just don't feel it. Somebody's got to call on God. Somebody's got to pray. He wants to send angels to fight the demon forces, but we've got to pray. But instead, we're just like, it's not like we don't love God. We're going to church. We're doing all the religious exercises. But have you settled? Have you made prayer a priority? Have you set a time? Have you set that place where you go and you meet God every single day? I don't know. When we go to a hotel, sometimes I put a pillow in the bathtub. Because there's no place in a hotel to go pray. So I just lock the door in the morning, put a pillow in the bathtub, and get in there and just, soften it up a little. Those tubs can be pretty hard on you. If you have to use your bathroom, if you have to use your, whatever it is, set a time and have an order. This is a pattern. This is a model prayer. I'm not saying, I don't want you to get religious about it. Don't go away saying, Pastor Judy said, this is how we have to pray. This is, you'll get this and we can have the ushers pass them out. This is called a daily prayer guide. This will help you. This talks even more about some of the things that even I just mentioned. But it helps you. It gives you order. I remember there was times I wasn't able to finish this in an hour, but I would take it, and this is even before we had our iPhones, I would take my little prayer card and I would take it with me and finish it during the day, finish it in the car, finish it on my job at lunch hour, just different times. I would just, but it was cool because it kept me focused, it kept it as a priority, it meant more to me than anything else that I finished this, and it wasn't religious. I knew I was believing God, amen? And I, we've had some pretty hard battles, and I know that you have too. But listen, I know that we wouldn't have come through without prayer. We wouldn't have made it through without prayer. I'm telling you, God will speak to you things that you won't even, the things that God, when we had no answer, the things that God would speak to us, it was just amazing when we would get an answer from God. The Bible says that God gave Solomon understanding as the sand on the seashore. People say to me all the time, I don't understand, I don't understand, I don't understand God. I go around confessing, Lord, I just thank you, no respect your persons, and that I have understanding as the sand on the seashore. And think about all the sand on the seashore, amen? God wants to give us that, but we got to use our faith and believe for those things. Amen? And we're going to continue to talk about prayer. I just wanted to get something in your hands. We're going to continue to be stir up. When you start praying and you have that fire, it's in your bones. I mean, you start seeing God move. Everything is about prayer because prayer is relationship with God. Amen? It'll set you on fire. It'll set the church on fire. We need to have fire rallies. Let's have a fire rally where people are really on fire for God. What we usually have is we have stir up rallies. Let's stir them up. Let's stir them up to pray. Let's stir them up to witness. Let's stir them up. I'd love to see the church come in and stir me up. Come on, you know, get some fire in the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I've asked Alex to sing. Where are you, Alex? Is she around here somewhere? This song, but Linda, do you remember that song? I don't know if, Pastor Laurie, do you remember the words to that song? Where are you? Where's all my worship team? Where is she? Okay. Well, maybe we can, if we get a chance, we'll sing it. You don't remember what key it was in? Well, I can't sing it to you because I'd get in bad, you know. My key is bad key. Everybody run out the back door. Hallelujah. Remember that song, Jehovah, that Linda wrote? Jehovah, my righteousness. Jehovah. Just a little snippet of it. I know it by heart. Didn't you guys sing it every day in your prayer time? Come on now. And then I'm going to have Alex come and sing Our Father.
Ready?
Not yet.
Jehovah, my righteousness, Jehovah, who sanctifies me, Jehovah, the Prince of Peace, Jehovah, you're always here with me, Jehovah, Jehovah.
Looking at this, you'll see what she's singing. Sing that, Linda. You wrote that song, but I adopted. I sing that every. I still do. I sang it on the way to church tonight, because it just brings out who God is to me. And I love. I the one name I didn't bring out tonight was Jehovah Shammah. That was one of my favorite. Knowing that He is always there, that really set me free from getting in elevators and stuff. You know. All of that stuff. He's always there with me. There's nothing to be afraid of. Amen. And so now I sing this song. Alex, are you guys ready? I still sing that one, but I love this one. And as they come to play this, I want you to stand. And this is what I'm going to ask. You guys are going to, you're going to be like, oh, I don't know. You know, they're really making us commit to this. We want you to commit. This is 5 more months starting tomorrow of this year. And I'm asking you, if you don't already, to commit to pray every day and have a goal. You know, I'm going to make it to January. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to seek God every day. Now, a lot of you get afraid because it's like, well, I'm going to get condemned if I don't pray. No, God's not going to condemn you. But unless you have some kind of goal to set before you, it's like, I'm wondering if you could commit to pray for the next 7 days. You know? So we're going to, I want to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask you to ask God to help you. I'll tell you what, if this church, just this group of people, prays every day for the next 5 months, this church will be set on fire like we won't believe. I feel the anointing so strong on this. I really do. I feel the presence of God all over me. I'm telling you, God is, he's hankering to show up. He wants to show up in your home. He wants to show up and do something supernatural where you say, oh my goodness, this never could have happened without God. Amen? So I want you to lift your hands toward heaven before we sing the song. And I want you to pray this prayer with me. You ready? Heavenly Father, I come to you now. And I thank you. I thank you in the name of Jesus that you created us to come and to seek your face. You desire for us to come and to spend time with you. And Father, I desire to seek your face. And I make this commitment. And I ask you to help me by the power of the Holy Spirit that I would pray every day, Lord, that you would help me to pray every day from now through the rest of the year and beyond, really. Lord, I ask for your help in this. And I commit to it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, we didn't pray that you'd pray. We didn't pray that you'd pray an hour a day. We just said you would pray every day. Amen? But if you pray an hour a day, I guarantee your life will be changed.